From South Beach, Miami, Florida, welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. Wow, it's an honor to have you here. Thanks so much for being here. I want to help you to succeed. I want to help you to achieve your wildest dreams, to help you to find your truth. We do that at Believe with five categories: money and business, true success, health and wellness, world news, and our universe. We have a really cool guest on this show today for you. He's really a specialist in money and business, but there's really so much more to him. And I'm really excited to share his thoughts with you guys and share this interview with you guys. You know, so much has been going on in the world. I just want you to know that I really believe that you can do whatever you want. I know our guest today does the same. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. So our guest, his name is Adam Urbanski. He's the founder and CEO of themarketingmentors.com. It's a really cool website. There's actually a free gift for you when you go to it. Check it out. So Adam, he's such a dynamic individual. So Adam is a marketing strategist to coaches, consultants, and other service professionals. He immigrated to the U.S. from Poland with only $194 in his pocket and a very limited ability to speak English. So he's one of those people that literally, one could say, almost started with nothing, right? And it makes us think, man, I got to get my you-know-what in gear. Like, this guy really has done a lot. Adam, since then, he's owned and co-owned several successful ventures, and some of his businesses have generated millions of dollars in sales. His first claim to fame was actually in a fast food restaurant or a coffee business, and he co-owned, owned, and eventually sold that small chain of bagel and coffee shops in Southern California. So today, Adam runs a multi-million dollar business that includes consulting, coaching, training, and information publishing. He jokingly says that he got his MBAs, or massive banking accounts, by paying a fortune to learn from and gain access to many high caliber mentors over the years. So it's an honor for us to have Adam Urbanski on the show. Adam, how are you, sir?
I'm just fantastic. Super excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Nicholas.
Well, it's an honor for you to be with us, and you'll have to bear with me. My voice is, you know, I had to escape to Mexico. The hurricane was coming to Miami, and I think I drank some water, but I can speak, so hopefully you can hear me okay over there, yeah?
I can hear you just fine. Okay. Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, perfect. Well, I love your studio. So, Adam, what is going on in the world of marketing? Tell us what you specialize in, maybe some of the challenges you see people facing, and how you like to help people get through those challenges. Maybe people kind of like yourself that are struggling. You basically started with nothing. You know, tell us some of the major challenges with people, how you like to help people get through those challenges, and then maybe a little bit about your story.
Man, that's as broad of a question as I was ever asked. I'm like, well, where do I start?
You know, a lot to it.
My brain functions like a computer. There's so much info in there, but without a proper query, it doesn't know where to go. But we'll do the best with it, you know? Look, I'm just, you know, I call myself a marketing strategist. And in fact, I'm very, 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 very blessed that I got started in this business, you know, nearly two decades ago. Man, I'm thinking it's 2017, almost, you know, 2018 in a few months. I started in 2000, as a consultant and coach. And being a strategist, it was kind of fairly easy for me to do that. Today, you know, you have to be a specialist. In fact, guys like me who want to be strategists have a really hard time because we can do a little bit of everything. And when someone asks, what do? How do you succinctly explain that you can do a little bit of everything, right?
Sure.
But in a nutshell, you know, what I am superbly good at is looking at someone's situation and being able to zoom in and zoom out between the really, really big picture and the really minute details and where they actually ultimately want to be, where they are at right now. And I have this ability of immediately seeing a path. And most people, based on their experience in corporations and life, they acquire a bunch of beautiful pearls. You know, those are skill sets, those are perspectives, those are specific areas of knowledge. They're extremely valuable. They're very precious pearls. But what they don't know is how to string them into a beautiful necklace that actually is truly valuable. And that's kind of my unique area of expertise. And, you know, today what I actually just recently wrote a book, if I can pitch it really quick, not for sale. As a matter of fact, of recording this, you can't even get it anywhere. I pre-sold a bunch of copies and didn't actually officially put it anywhere online. Fastest path to cash. And look, cash, just to make it clear, money, cash is the universe's way of rewarding you for your gifts in service to others, right? It's just the universe's feedback for the value you provide. So the more money you generate, the faster you get to it. It simply means that you are of more service, of more value to more people. But the reason I wrote this, because the biggest challenge people have today is we are increasingly in an entrepreneurial economy. And essentially what that means is that people get paid for the value they provide. And most people whenever, you know, we're taught that millennials, you know, not to knock on them. I'm a little above millennials in terms of my age. But, you know, it's like they were brought in the rewards for nothing, you know, participation rewards. And the assumption is that the world owes me something and the world does not owe you anything. You've got to provide value to be compensated. Increasingly, companies are realizing that, look, we don't owe employees anything. And by the way, if you're an employee, the company doesn't owe you anything. Unless you provide value for each other, it's got to be a mutually beneficial arrangement. So most people are having really difficult time finding themselves. You know, if you ever read any books by Peter Diamandis, he talks about all the disruptions in the world, technology, biology, communications. I am finding that people are expecting to live longer. They can communicate with anybody, anywhere, at any time with ease. And yet, you know, most people have no idea how they're going to provide for themselves financially for the longer life. They have no idea how to connect with someone that they truly can become intimate with. Even though they can talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime, they really don't know how to deeply connect, create friendships and relationships. And, you know, all the disruptions create so much change so rapidly that people are massively lost. So there is a huge opportunity for problem solvers, for coaches, for consultants, for people that have an inspiring message of hope that they can connect it to a system that takes you from place A to place B, but they don't know how to turn it into an actual business. And that's kind of, you know, my specialty. So that's a long-winded answer to your broad question.
That's right.
Hopefully some of it made some sense.
It makes perfect sense. And your brain must be a great computer because it was a three-part query. You covered a lot of that. And we'll get in more to your story. It wasn't that complicated of a query. You covered a lot of it. We'll get into the last part later. But I gave you a lot at once, didn't I? So you really covered a lot there, and I love it. What I hear you saying, well, actually, the last part is what I really want to get into. So when somebody wants to become a coach, when somebody, you know, first of all, they have to believe in themselves, I would guess, in order to think, hey, I can actually be a coach. But how does somebody go about starting a coaching business?
That is a great question. That's actually the exact reason why I wrote this book, Nicholas. But look.
What's the name of that book again? And when is it going to be out?
Fastest Path to Cash. And I believe, where are we right now? In September.
Sure.
Around October, it should be available anywhere books are sold.
Good. Good.
So yeah, about another month. It's actually a great story. If we have time, we can get into this, how I wrote and sold this book. But let me answer your question. So how does one get started with coaching, right? You know, you mentioned that they have to believe in themselves. And, you know, for many years, I kind of, when people came to me and they said, well, I don't have the confidence, I was almost annoyed. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have the confidence? Just go and do this. I didn't understand that actually the more successful someone is, the more doubts they typically have about their ability to go to the next level. What I mean by that is, and especially if they were successful, for example, someone was extremely successful in the corporate career, and at some point they got X, you know, they got right-sized, downsized, or they no longer found joy in the job and they left. And then they go, well, I'm going to go and coach other people on some things I've done in the past. And they kind of, they go like, well, what makes me qualified to do this? I don't have a PhD in this. I didn't go to college for that. Like, what makes me qualified? So one is you've got the fastest path for me that works consistently with clients is identifying one thing you've already accomplished and then teaching people how to do that. And it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be complex. It can be very small, but you start with that thing and you find the market who wants to learn it. Now, a word of warning. A lot of people today believe that the key to success is follow your passion. And if you ask most successful people, in fact, if you search for videos on YouTube, you're going to see compilations from people, from little clips of videos or interviews from people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and Richard Branson and Steve Jobs, like the most successful entrepreneurs. And they're going to say, well, the key to success is you've got to follow your passion. Wrong advice. You see, these guys are really good at what they do, but they never analyzed how they actually got there. So their advice to other people is actually largely based on what they hear other people teach. So you've got to follow the advice. You've got to follow your passion. The truth is you've got to become passionate about what you do. Don't do what you are passionate about. Become passionate about what you need to do. Here's where I'm really going, where I'm going with it. There's a great book called So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal. Oh my gosh, what's the guy's name? Cal Newport, I believe. And it's based on Steve Martin's, the famous actor, the comedian, saying that you've got to become so good they can't ignore you. But he also talks about the fact that people wake up one day and say, well, I'm passionate about, you know, I don't know, hugging trees, you know? And then they go, I'm so passionate about forests, I'm going to make this my business. No, no. You've got to find a real problem that real people have that they really want to solve, that they want to pay real money for, and you've got to make that your business. And then whatever activities you need to do in this business, you better become passionate about them, because otherwise you won't be able to do them. And when that business becomes successful, that business will fund your passion to go and save forests and other things. Now, look, in some situations, you are able to consolidate the two. But for most people, they've got to really find a way to solve a problem. So that brings me to something I started with, which is, you want to identify a skill set, something you have already developed, something you've done. So, for example, in your case right now, you know, I'm having this interview with you. Obviously, you know how to start a multimedia website. You've got video, you've got audio, you've got clips of information. So you know how to do green screen videos and this kind of stuff. You could simply talk to people, say, look, how to create great looking videos and how to use them to drive traffic to your website. Ta-da. Now, it's not very complicated, but here is the catch, Nicholas. Because you've done this, now you would do what I call you would talk your walk, meaning you've done something and now you're talking about it. Most people hear the different advice. They hear things like, you know, fake it till you make it. And then people say, oh my God, look at this person. They're totally walking the talk. Well, they've done it in reverse. They should have done something first and then teach about it. Because when you do that, you become unstoppable confident. Like, you can ask me nearly anything about building business, making money, attracting clients, building business online, offline, buying and selling businesses. You can ask me nearly anything and I'm going to be extremely confident telling you about it because I've done those things multiple times. So, you know, it's about teaching from experience. And I believe that's where most people go wrong. They try to teach from what they've never done. And that causes them to have self-doubts and they hesitate what to do next.
Right. So you have to actually get things done. No, actually, we had Jim Rogers, a billionaire investor, on. It was a really great interview. A lot of things are some similar themes to what you're talking about, specifically the part about, well, there's some crossover with the passion and what you mentioned about that not always being, you know, actually, there was a great book I read called Desperate Buyers Only, and I've generated millions of dollars in sales. I've also had very tough times. So I really relate to you there. But Desperate Buyers Only, it talked about, you know, one thing to think about is hungry markets where there are a lot of buyers, and that if there's a lot of competition, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That competition can become your partner. And another thing we've done in terms of coaching is it's really easy to set up a Facebook group. If you're a great expert, set up a Facebook group. And if you have testimonials, set up a sales page and start getting members to that Facebook group. It's something anybody could do, but you really have to look at who's going to pay for that information and the actual market for that information. And I've talked about this in the past a lot. So that's really great advice. So yeah. I'd love to talk, Adam, more about your story. I mean, how did you really get through, or how did you build your multi-million dollar business? It sounds like you've done this a couple of times, coming to the U.S. with only $194.
You know, I'll tell you the beginnings of it. And the other day I was doing a presentation for a group of coaches, actually, and I was showing them a couple of things online, and I showed them an ad, and I said, look, I've got this Facebook ad, and there's nothing magical about this ad. It's a basic ad. It drives people to a webinar. And I said, look at this. It's got 3,500 some shirts, not likes, but actual shirts. Somebody clicked on it and say, hey, and send it to their friends and say, hey, folks, you got to look at it, right? Or they send it on, they shared it on the profile and say, hey, people, you've got to look at this. 3,500 plus shirts for a Facebook ad that does nothing but drives people to a commercial for me. How is that possible? How is it? What kind of magical skills I have? I said, and I asked the audience, like, how do you get 3,500 shares on a Facebook ad? Well, it's got to be really good. It's got to be this. It's got to be all of that correct, somewhat. But the real secret is you run it for 3 years. That's the real secret. You run it for 3 years over and over and over and over and over again. So, you know, I'm sort of giving the secret to my success, because I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I will outgrind and outlast everybody else. When I get into something, you know, I had a consultation with a client today, and she was asking about specific things she wants to accomplish. She's focusing on a specific program she wants to sell. And as we ended the conversation, she said, well, you know, I'll be focusing on this for the next. And she paused, and then she finished, well, until I fill this program. And I said, ding, 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 ding. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Now I know you're going to fill the program. Because the mistake people make is they go after something they truly want. And they say, well, I'm going to give it 90 days and see what happens. When people do this, I immediately say, you know what? Don't even bother. Just don't bother. Well, why? Because I can tell you exactly what will happen in 90 days. Nothing. You either serious about something to give it your all. You got to be all in. There is no plan B. Or don't even bother. Because if you kind of have an exit hatch somewhere, sooner or later, stuff is going to get real. You know, the stuff is going to hit the fan. It's going to get tough. And you're going to get scared. And you're going to bow out and go, okay, plan B looks a lot easier. So unless you all in, don't bother. You know, I came to the United States at $194. And in my story, very recent, prior to that arrival, I had a personal story of failed immigration. I left Poland. I thought I was leaving forever. And the next morning I was back. I got scared. I hopped back on a train and I traveled back to Poland. And hello, mom, I'm back home, right? So when I came to the United States, I had $194. I didn't speak English. I could say, excuse me, sir, how do you do? I had hotel paid for 10 days. And the ticket that I arrived to United States on was an open ticket for 6 months, which meant, you know, for 6 months, I could go back to the airport, present that ticket, and I would get a flight, could book a flight back. And my first night in the hotel, I can't tell you how many hours I sat on the edge bed and on the edge of the bed and stared at this ticket. What I can tell you that it ended up in me ripping up the ticket into shreds. I mean, I ripped that thing into such small pieces that it was unrecognizable. And for me, what it simply meant is there is no plan B. It's like, I'm here to stay. I don't know how, but what I do know is that I've got to make it work and that failure is not an option. And the reason I had to rip up this ticket, because I knew that within a day, within the two days, it's going to get so scary and so dicey, and I'm going to be so isolated and so confused that if that's what it took, I would have walked to JFK, you know, from Brooklyn or from Mountain. I would have walked to JFK and I would have booked the flight and you know, go back to mama because I would have been scared. and that's just the truth. So you've got to close that hatch. You've got to say, look, failure is not an option. And I got a job as a baker initially. It took a while. You know, I went hungry for a few weeks, you know, very hungry. And got a job eventually, and that job allowed me to start going and take some English lessons, and I started going to school and learning how to type, which, you know, and you think early 1990s, I don't know what possessed me this, but somehow I had an inkling that maybe this thing about keyboards and computers, maybe there would be something to it. So maybe I should learn how to actually use a keyboard.
Sure.
So, you know, back then I was just typing on a typewriter, and that allowed me to go get another job. So I, you know, I eventually had three jobs. I was going to school, and you know, I think that I always had this thing that I never worked for anybody a day in my life. I always, always worked for myself. So I was always looking at how can I be of more value? Whatever job I have, it wasn't like, what's the minimum I get to do? What's my job description? It was like, okay, here's my territory. Okay, what's adjacent to my territory? What else can I grab? What else do I do? What else can I learn? How else can I provide value? You know, and that led me to eventually move to West Coast. That's a whole different story too. But and again, started as a baker, one company, another company, another company, learned some skills. And eventually I found a job that was looking for a person to help them open a bakery slash restaurant. Now I had no idea how to do this, but I still threw my name in the hat. And when it came time to interview for that position, you know, Nicholas, I spent 3 or 4 days preparing with my wife. You know, I was going back and forth and I said, ask me, and what can they ask me possibly? What would they want to know about me from me? Like, what questions would they have? And from what I was told later on, it is that I outperformed 45 other candidates for this job, and they didn't even bother calling anybody else after my interview. They were like, this is our guy, simply because I came prepared, you know, and that was kind of my entry into the coffee shop slash bagel shops business. Eventually, I did the same thing again for a larger company. I came so prepared that when they saw me, they didn't want to talk to anybody else. And in that company, I bought into the company a year into it. Then I bought another part of the company. Then I bought another part of the company. And eventually, I just bought out my partners, owned it flat out, and ended up selling the business. And that kind of took me to a consulting job. Anyway, very long-winded story. Again, hopefully, there was some value for listeners. I think the biggest thing is, look, realize that failure is not an option. If you want something, get clear what it is that you want and go after it with a vengeance. Number two, you know, opportunity or lack is when opportunity meets preparation, or preparation meets opportunity. And number three, it's just you can't stop. You just got to be persistent. You keep going. You got to be stubborn and just keep going after what you want.
Well, I like that. My brain is not so much like a computer, so I like your long-winded answer. I think it's a perfect answer. And actually, I hear a lot of value. What I hear is work your ass off. That's really what I hear. Because if you do that enough, you'll figure it out. And I think, and you're definitely not a get rich quick guy, right? That's what
definitely
I also hear.
Not.
Yeah, because neither am I, because I have made a lot of money a couple times. I also lost it once, and it can be tough. Sometimes when it's tough, or when I do something stupid, or when I put things off, or all the real things, because if you take a course, they won't tell you about the real things. First of all, everybody does weird things. People do human things. It's not so simple as just do 10 steps in a row. Sometimes men, if they're very logical, can do that. But usually people are doing all kinds of random things. They don't finish. They, you know, all of us have our own little wars to win and things to get through ourselves. That's part of the fun. And then you have the business things, like, is, you know, we had a hurricane. Is your office going to come, you know, is it going to blow up? I mean, or are the employees going to do what they say? Or is the job going to get done? Can you get the website designed? Can you outsource and actually find people that can actually do the work? Can you get it done at the right price? Can you get it done on time? There's so many things when you're actually doing something. But what I hear is actually get started. You made failure not an option because you tore that ticket up. You basically said, I am going to stay in the U.S. I'm going to succeed. And then as you went, you found things quickly. You adapted quickly is what I feel that maybe is what happened. And then you built upon your success as you kept going along. Is that right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's
beautiful.
There's
definitely more to it. But, you know, I think you captured this nicely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to share something because I'm definitely not a get rich guy, not get rich quickly kind of guy. But, you know, you know, I'm thinking of a presentation I just did a couple of days ago. And, you know, I actually specifically ask for people that bring me on stage to say things like, hey, this guy is all about the money and he wants it. He wants a lot of it and he wants it fast. I love making a lot of money and I love helping people make money fast. So give you an example. There's a guy named Marshall that just came into one of our programs. And Marshall is kind of a serial entrepreneur, dabbles a little bit in this, a little bit in that. And he says, look, I'm thinking about this coaching consulting thing. Can you help me get started? Sure. You know, 2 weeks into this game, he's brought in, let's see, 12, 20, about $32,000. This is, you know, the guy who 3 weeks ago did not have a coaching business. He's just brought in $32,000 cash collected, money in the bank. So you can make money fast, but there is a difference between making money and building a business, right? However, one of the things I teach my clients always is, look, make money first, build business second. What that means is, again, remember one of the first things I started with, money is a universe's way of rewarding you for your gifts in service to others, right? So if you can't make money, that simply means you're not providing value to anyone. So if you're talking to people and say, hey, I'm thinking of doing so-and-so, such and such thing, would you pay me money? And they kind of go, ah, no, then you didn't stumble upon something that's of value. So you've got to talk to people, make offers. And when it's something valuable, they will give you money. Once you get that going, then you start thinking, okay, how do I actually create some structure about this? How can I make this easier? This is where things like starting a Facebook group, this is where things like having a website, having opt-in pages, having automation, emails, funnels. But that's building a business. That comes second. What most people do, they end up building a business and they take a few months. For some people, and I know you've talked to people like this, you've seen it in action, Nicholas. You probably talk to people like this every day. They take a couple of years to build a business and you ask, where's the money? And they go, well, I haven't started selling anything yet. Or I don't have customers. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, how are you funding? How do you even know you're on the right track if there is no money flowing? You're just wasting your time. So make money first is really kind of one of my first mottos. Make money first, build business second. It doesn't mean you're going to get rich quick, but it means you get instant feedback. Look, there's only one ultimate marketing genius out there. And that ultimate marketing genius consultant is your audience. And if your audience and then your audience votes with the money. And if they don't give you the money, then it simply means your offer sucks. Go create something different.
Well, yeah, I think that's definitely one thing it can mean. It can mean your ads suck. It can mean your offer sucks, or people aren't hungry in that market, or there's somebody offering at a lower price. There's so much that I agree with there. I would say I agree with you regarding that you can make money quickly. I turned $1,000 into almost $1 million in profit in like under 2 years. But the backstory is, which I don't think they tell you a lot of times, in which you are telling us your backstory, to learn all the skills I needed to be able to do that. I did spend years screwing around you know, I could have sold things quicker, or it did take 2 years. So I would say it could seem like sometimes people are wasting time. If you end up in, if your goal is to make a lot of money and you end up actually, you know, having success, there might be some lean years and you might do some dumb things, as long as you apply it, hopefully. And as Adam is saying, the quicker, the better. Obviously, it would make things more comfortable. You could hire people quicker. You could build your business quicker. But if you are one of those people, I think just in my case, I've definitely done that myself, where I haven't even knowing what I quote unquote should do. I've even put things off and done different things. And and the last thing I'll say, I think for me, I love what you said about service to others. For me, service to others is the most important thing. It's very interesting in our society that we're capitalists, but yeah, adding value can create, it is sort of serving others. But I will say, for me, money is the Rothschild's way of rewarding people for service to others currently. If there were free energy, at which we're hopefully going to, we're hiring people in Venezuela now to work on, and Nikola Tesla was working on it, actually we wouldn't need money at all except to barter, because that's a whole other topic. We've talked about that on other shows, but that's not just my opinion. But right now, here we are. I have to pay for things every month, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go If I'm gonna try to make money, I'm gonna go to Adam's website, themarketingmentors.com, and I'm gonna actually, you know, I'll pull that on screen right now. Themarketingmentors.com. Adam, tell people if you'd like what people can download here at themarketingmentors.com. We have it on screen right now.
Yeah, so what you most likely see right now may not be there in the very near future. So right now I'm giving people access to actual my business blueprint. It's more or less the same thing that I followed for the nearly a decade in my business. It's working beautifully. A lot more people are following similar blueprints today than they were when I just got started. And it's essentially a breakdown of what it takes to start, whether you're doing consulting, coaching, any type of expertise, know-how, service-based business. How do you actually accelerate that business? And, you know, how do you get it started? How do you accelerate? How do you get clients? How do you promote yourself in a very elegant way? And there's a little bit more to that kit that you can get on the back end. But, you know, another place I'll plug in, if you really want to hang out with us, I do have a Facebook group. It's actually called fastestpathtocash.club. Wow. fastestpathtocash.club.
Okay.
And it is specifically for people that sell services. And we ask you three questions before we let you in. We're very specific who we want to hang out with. But I do a ton of free education. You know, in fact, if just like as of, you know, the time of us having this conversation, I think of the last three or four video tutorials that I put in there, and they were on topics like how to make this month your $25,000 a month. How do you take your service business and turn it into a seven-figure practice? How to fill your pipeline with hot leads? How do you create irresistible offers that people trip over themselves to buy from you? And, you know, I go in there for half an hour, 45 minutes, and just kind of break down, here's what I do in my business. And in what I do today, again, I'm kind of fortunate to be at the stage. My goal is to, over the next 15 months, between now and the end of 2018, I want to give away for free about 90% of my intellectual property. Everything that I've learned, that I've developed, courses I've created, I now give away about a course a month, stuff that I used to sell for $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, I now give away for free. Because, and here's a kicker. So something I did not mention at the very beginning, but here's a big problem that I see in today's society. Information is abundant, but information in isolation doesn't take you anywhere. In fact, information is supplemental. Implementation is fundamental. You know, people are swimming in the sea of ideas and opportunities. What's missing is execution. They don't do what needs to be done. It almost is frustrating to see people who will spend a lifetime looking for shortcuts where they could spend a few minutes just doing something that needs to be done to move themselves forward. You know, don't look for a shortcut. Usually it's a fool's gold. Do what needs to be done. Just do the work and fall in love with doing the work. And man, you're going to be a happier person. You're going to provide more value and, you know, you will live a much richer life.
Adam, I love what you've said. In fact, we went to your website. I think people should definitely check out your Facebook group. What was the name of that Facebook group again?
fastestpathtocash.club.
fastestpathtocash.club. That's a great URL. Now, Adam, what I really hear as well, there's something inside of me that says, man, this guy is all about execution. He might notice a lot of things about, right, what people can do to make money, but also about what's going on in the world. Is there something on your mind in regards to maybe some of the inefficiency or the improvements that we could make in the world or in this country and, you know, everything that's going on today?
You know, that is such a deep question. Oh boy, where do I even go with this?
Wherever you want.
Know, look, as I mentioned earlier, I don't consider myself to be the sharpest tool in the shed. And sometimes I wish, you know, I'm going to make a few different points and hopefully connect them into an answer here for you. So I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a moment. You know, you mentioned this society where energy is free and we may not need money. I'm a big Star Trek fan, and there is one episode, I forget in which series now, where, you know, they sort of, they rescue a ship that's been stranded in space, and people were When you in hibernation, right?
Right. Cryo and, sleep or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And cryo sleep. And they wake them up and they wake them up like, you know, a few hundred years later than they were supposed to wake up. And there's one guy that's like, you know, when he got himself frozen, he was extremely rich in like 20th century, 21st century society. And he gets defrosted. And now he's thinking, how do I get a hold of my lawyers and my bankers? Because I've got to like check on my fortune, right? It's probably even more fortune now. And he's told, look, in our society, money no longer exists. It's like we're all provided. And there's hierarchy, but we're all provided. There's money does not exist. And I love, you know, and certainly they did not go deeper into this concept. How does it actually function? But I love the idea. I love the idea of, you know, not value, not judging another person based on, you know, where they live, what they drive, and how they dress. And, you know, lack of money is not a problem in today's society. There is no shortage of money. There is shortage of money-making ideas in action. So again, most people don't deploy what they know, and therefore, you know, they go like, well, this is, you know, I'm miserable, and it's government's fault, and it's someone else's fault. It's like, no, it's your own fault. For most people in a civilized, free society, they have a complete choice to making a difference in their life. They just don't do it because it's difficult, it's hard, it takes time, whatever. Second thing, you know, a mentor of mine, one of my mentors is Jay Abraham. And for people in marketing and business, you probably recognize the name. He's a little, he's an old timer now. And by the way, don't confuse old timer with irrelevant.
Sure.
And he's been one of those remote mentors, meaning I never actually worked with him one-on-one, but I've consumed his information, read his book, bought his courses, thousands of dollars worth of materials. And then I had an opportunity to sit at a table with him a few years back because, you know, I donated to a good cause. I invested in building schools in Africa, and that gave me access to this exclusive mastermind of sharp, bright, you know, bright minds. And we're sitting together and, you know, there's maybe 10 of us at the table, and we go in circles, and everybody's griping and groaning and moaning and about how bad email marketing became and how nobody's opening our emails and people aren't clicking. And everybody goes like, well, what's the latest trick? What are you doing to get people, you know, what are you doing to fool people into clicking your email? And we finally get to Jay, and we kind of look at us like, well, you're this brilliant marketing guy, so what do you think? And he looks at us, and I got to tell you, when he said what he said, some people broke in tears, because he said, look, I think you've all forgotten why you got into this business. You've gotten into this business because you wanted to make a difference. And now you're tricking people. And the solution to your problem is not the latest trick. The solution to your problem is love your people more. And fast forward a few years, I've been very fortunate. About a month or two ago, I got invited to speak at an event as a keynote. And what do you know? Right next to me is Jay Abraham speaking as the next keynote. I'm like, man. And it's just an amazing story. But then, you know, again, he is teaching his session, and he was asked to kind of teach on a specific subject. And once again, he delivers the same message. He says, look, here's the alpha and omega. Oh my God, here's the solution to your problems. You know, love your audience more. And man, it reminded me, because my entire business is structured on the principle of people first. Look, I love money. I love making a lot of it. I think it helps to solve a lot of problems. I can't help anybody if I have no money. Solving the world's problems is very expensive, right? I can't go and build a school in Africa if I've got no cash in my pocket. It's just that simple. I can't prevent little girls from being raped if I've got no money to go in and invest. It's just that simple, right? I've got to have the cash, but it's all about making a difference in people's lives. And that brings me to the last point. I was fortunate again to meet somebody very impressive. You probably know who Les Brown is.
I've heard the name.
Les Brown is kind of a Hall of Famer speaker, an incredible guy. And I've heard him speak for the first time when I was starting this business 17 years ago. And here I am, you know, at the friend's house, we're having a private dinner and just connecting with this gentleman. Just an incredible guy. He's so inspirational to some of the people. But, you know, as I'm listening to his message and what he's all about, I'm realizing more and more. And we're talking about kind of what you ask, you know, what's the solution? What do we see? How do we fix the economy? In today's world, we've got so much animosity going on. People are fighting each other. They're killing each other. They're, you know, they're rich going richer, poorer going poorer. And what is the solution? And economically, Nicholas, I can't tell you. I'm not sharp enough to figure it out. You know, the level of debt and obligation financially that people are having is just astronomical, right? It really takes more of a long view strategy to fix all of those that I don't think our society is prepared for the sacrifices that it takes. But I think the ultimate solution, you know, like in the last election cycle, I couldn't even go on Facebook because there was so much hatred.
Right.
No one was offering any tangible solution.
Right.
If you had an opinion that was different than someone else's, you were immediately ostracized. And there were just those clubs of haters. Like, we hate those people and we hate those people. I'm like, you know, if you just stop for a moment and said, look, I know you've got a different opinion, but fundamentally, I love you. You're a person, you're a human being. All you probably want to do in your life is be a little bit better off and be loved and be understood. That's probably all you really ultimately want. And, you know, because some things aren't going your way, you're now hating the world. Like, why? How is that getting you forward? How is it solving any problem? How is it helping anybody? So that's kind of my long-winded answer of, you know, different little vignettes from my life and how they came to the point where, to me, ultimately, it's about making a difference in another human being's life. And in order to do that, I've got to love everybody. And it's not like, I love you, I want to go to bed with you. You know, it's like, I love you because at the end of the day, you're just a human being just like me. You want to be fed, you want to be clothed, you want to be loved, and you want to feel secure. And that's, you know, you go about your entire life trying to satisfy those needs. And sometimes we get so frustrated and so myopic that we believe the world is against us, and we get on seek and destroy mission. That if something doesn't go our way, we immediately think, oh my God, we got to kill that thing because it's preventing us from, you know, being loved, being fed, being secure. No, it doesn't prevent us. It's just we didn't quite figure out how our missions align. That's all. And if we just take the moment to, you know, relate to this other being and go like, hey, you're probably on the same mission, but right now we seem to collide. What if we align? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? So I think the answer is really just, you know, seek to understand and seek to love the other people.
Well, that is a beautiful answer. Specifically, you know, I've said it before, understanding is love. And the first episode or video I ever did for our website, believe.love, our company name is Love! Exclamation mark. And it's not a perfect, it's not about being perfect. It's because I want to be less and less of a jackass, actually. I mean, that's the real reason I started this. I think I'm achieving that. I don't know. Depends who you ask, I guess. But the first video I did was sending love to both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, where I actually clearly had a specific opinion. It doesn't even matter necessarily what I thought what my opinion was. I wanted both. And actually then we could send love, even if we think that I mentioned the Rothschilds in this episode, even if I think that there's some monkey business going on and they're, I still want to forgive and send love to them, even if I think they're responsible for it. And I like what the reason we have the category Money and Business, because I love Gaia.com. It's sort of a spiritual media network. And the reason we have the Money and Business category is because I'm also living in reality right now. We see ourselves as a bridge. So having a great guy on like Adam, you know, everybody has to pay for things currently. That's the reality of it. And it's okay, especially when you're taking Adam and Jay Abraham's position to basically love your customers more instead of trying to trick them. I was interviewed somewhere and they asked me the toughest thing. I created a supplement line, tried to sell it online, and there was all these acai ads with fake pictures and Oprah and all this crap. And I couldn't make it convert. Like the others, I refused to run the landing pages that were fake. So I spent a year and then I had all these products in some fulfillment center and I had sold it all for a loss. It was, you know, but I learned a lot, but it sucked. You know, I thought at the time, I mean, maybe it helped eventually, but I really love what you said here, Adam. I know that you mentioned to go along with all of the great things you just said about understanding and loving your customers and applying that to the world. And you mentioned specifically, I think on your site somewhere, that one of the best things that ever happened to you is your marriage to your wife. Mm-hmm. And you met in New York, you've been married for 24 years. And all this time, she's been your biggest supporter and cheerleader. You have two great daughters, Nicole and Paulina. And loving your family is what keeps you in balance and truly fulfills my life, your life, I'm reading, right? Your life with joy. But there are people that feel alone. And even before she came along, I'm sure she helped you through a lot of things. It's been 24 years. So there's a two-part question, only two parts. I know your brain's a great computer, by the way. I know you can handle this two-part. So the first part of this question is that, you know, what would you say to people who do feel alone, who feel like, you know, maybe they don't have this, right? And then the second thing is, how has it been? I mean, this is amazing. Like, talk about maybe your family and what true success really is to you.
Wow. You know, let me start it. So you actually asked three questions here.
I need to be more efficient as a computer. So thank you. So answer however you want. How's that? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Go ahead.
You know, and I now forgot the first question was like success, family, and then, oh, people feeling alone.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so let me start with the last one, success. You know, to me, success is really about feeling fulfilled and being of contribution. So I keep going, you know, I didn't even realize how much I repeat myself with this universe's reward for services rendered type thing.
Sure.
But I truly believe it's so fulfilling when you get to, you know, fall in love with something. Like I love the grind. Man, I love the results, but I love the grind. And it's not like I'm not masochistic. I'm not crazy. I don't want to, you know, kill over and die, you know, from hard labor. But I don't begrudge doing the work. You know, I don't dream of a 4-hour work week because I'm like, I'll be bored out of my mind. How would I be of service to people if I work only 4 hours? What am I going to do with the rest of my time? I'll be useless. Like, you know what happens to useless parts? They get discarded. I don't want to be useless. I don't be of value. I have so much to give. How can I, you know, not give it? It will be immoral, right? So to me, success is just finding this fulfillment and being of so much of tremendous value, but also, you know, being compensated for it. Like the universe is, you know, I found a way to essentially create my little universe that just rewards me, you know, in spades for the services I render. And I'm loving every moment of it. In terms of family, you know, it's interesting because I've been married for 25 years this April. I nearly divorced my wife twice. There was a period of time where very few people know we were actually separated for a while. And, you know, I had so many different messages on it. You know, and one message that I understood clearly is that part of it is my bringing. I come from the old country. And the way things worked in the old country is when things broke, you fixed them. You didn't just throw them away. You made them work. And part of it is you've got to realize that there was a time if you were in a relationship and it maybe isn't at the greatest stage right now, you have to realize at one point you really loved this person. You were like pursuing this person. You were all hot about this person. So what the hell happened? Did this person really become some sort of monster in the process where you can like just completely cannot relate? Or is it that you just kind of, you know, you travel on the path that maybe you travel at a couple of different speeds and maybe there's a little distance that build up. But that does not mean that, you know, the next person you're going to get together with is going to have exactly the same problems sooner or later, right? So you're going to just repeat the story. So rather than going for the next bright, shiny object, a newer model or whatever the terminology is, you know, consider that it might be a possibility of you actually creating something amazing and fulfilling in the very same thing that you think no longer has any validity or any value for you. So we have a tremendous relationship. My wife has been my business partner for I don't even know how many years, but many years. We run our company together. We spend tremendous amount of time together. You know, our daughters are just absolutely amazing. One of them is still with us. The other one is, you know, kind of forging her own life, graduated and building her own life. But, you know, we talk to our girls daily, either in person or, you know, in Skype or phones. And it really is, I think there is no greater reward than knowing that you've got this little nucleus that's your family and you totally of service to them. So for me, the reason to show up, the reason to build value, the reason to amass, you know, any type of financial resources and securities, you've got to provide for your family first and foremost, right? And I think there's a tremendous amount of satisfaction, whether you're a man or a woman, I think it's tremendous. And the last part, you know, so you asked about relationships and man, because of, you know, my own journey and being separated from my wife and having some turbulent times there, I've learned a lot about relationships. In fact, there was a time that I considered, you know, stepping away from being the Mr. Millionaire Marketer and Guru Mentor and really getting into the mentoring people in relationships.
Wow.
And it's truly, you know, I have no PhDs on the subject, you know, other than the tremendous amount of information that I've consumed just to try to go through my own journey. And then having conversations with friends, helping them through their own journeys, because I find that most people are miserable in their relationships, you know, whether they are in a relationship or alone. And, you know, again, I don't have an ultimate solution, but I think a way to ease the pain is, number one, you've got to become the person you want to attract. So if you in any relationship, there is no 100%. There is no second half. If you are a half, you're going to have a half-assed relationship. You've got to become a whole. So any relationship that's amazingly successful and fulfilling, you've got to realize it's not a 100%, it's 200%. 100 from you, 100 from your partner, always. It comes to responsibility. It's not like you were responsible 80% and your partner 20. You are responsible 100% and so is your partner, 100%. And if you don't get that, nothing works. So, you know, this ultimate responsibility, and you've got to be a complete person. Number two is communication. Learn how to talk about everything. You know, if you've got a zit on your ass and you embarrassed to tell your partner, then you don't have a good enough relationship, right? I mean, I'm making it as crass, as an extreme as I possibly can. But, you know, if you can't talk about stuff, how are you supposed to really form anything? And that brings me to the last part, which is risk and vulnerability. Look, we hate being vulnerable. You know, it's like, look, you've got this clothing. I'll be afraid to strip naked because what if people see I've got hair on my back or God forbid something, right? It's like, so clothing is our ultimate armor. But we also create armor through how we show up in energy. We just hate being vulnerable with another person. How can you create fulfilling relationship if you're afraid to risk being vulnerable? If you can't risk being hurt by being vulnerable, you can't possibly build an amazing relationship. And will you get kicked through a curb a few times? Will you get hurt? Abso-freaking-lutely, guaranteed, right? Guaranteed. But at those moments where it feels like, man, it's so freaking incredible, it's worth all the risk. It's worth all the pain. I think if there were no pain, you wouldn't realize how sweet the reward is. So again, it's falling in love with this, you know, ebbs and flows, ups and downs. And I think the three things that I just mentioned, you know, for me are absolutely, critical. 100% responsibility, ownership. You've got to be whole by yourself. You've got to have amazing communication. And this communication, this trust, is dependence on the other person. And the last thing is really, you know, risk and vulnerability and just plunge in.
Well, that's also a beautiful answer. We had Orion Talmai, she's like a celebrity love coach, months ago on the show. And she's out in LA, kind of near you. And she was saying a lot of the same things from a woman's perspective. And, you know, of course, my opinion is that men are full of shit a lot. I mean, that's what nobody says. I mean, she loved me. She actually had me on her show because I think I said that. She's like, yeah, this is the number one complaint I've ever heard from girls is honesty. Now, girls are they do their own thing. We're all human. So everybody has their, I try to be fair, but I think people could do what they say more. And I think men could be honest. So that's tough. That's a tough one because that gets into interesting areas of people wanting the truth or a good liar, a smiling liar. And it's a very, right now, I think as a society, we may be transitioning into wanting the truth more, but the truth is very interesting in itself. There's a lot to what the truth is, but you give very practical advice, Adam, and it's very concrete. And I love the soul. We really feel your soul coming out in this interview, Adam. So I really recommend everybody go to buy Adam's book when it's available, whenever you see this interview. Adam, will you show us that book one more time?
Sure. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
Okay. That is The Fastest Path to Cash. Modern Entrepreneur's Fastest Path to Cash by Adam Urbanski. And that's going to be out in October-ish of 2017.
Correct.
Something like that at Amazon and wherever books are sold. And I strongly recommend that you go check out Adam's website. That's themarketingmentors.com. It's going to be updated maybe by the time you see it. But I would check out everything that Adam's doing because he seems like a very straightforward person. And to me, that's what the world needs. And it also seems like he can see beyond just making money. So he's not going to lead you in directions where you're going to, you know, he's telling you just to make a quick buck or to scam people in order to make money. Or how can you trick people into giving you money? But he also understands that you can make money quickly. It's really about doing it, taking action, and really, I think, following Adam's guidance. So I highly recommend people check out themarketingmentors.com. So again, our website is believe.love. Spread the links. You are changing the world when you spread these links and supporting our guests like Adam. And all you have to do, go to www.believe.love, share our links. We have so many stories. We have four great hosts now. We're really doing awesome things, I think, and we're improving a lot more and more, and it's with your help. We had a video recently with 100,000 organic views during Hurricane Irma, which was our biggest video ever, and 600 comments, and of course, some people bitching, but overwhelmingly positive, so that's good, I guess, and we'll do a show on that, but again, our iTunes is believeiTunes.com, believeAndroid.com for Android users, and it's YouTube.com/believeLovesYou. So I'm Nicholas Upchurch. I want to thank our guests today. And Adam, thank you so much for being on Believe, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, and best of success to you and all our listeners.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.